This is Report to Wyoming.
I'm Colby Fedor, and in this episode, I'm talking to the executive director of the 1224 Club in Casper. His name is Jeremy Jones. The 1224 Club is a community resource that was built around recovery from addiction. They strive to provide a safe, anonymous environment for groups and individuals seeking recovery from addiction through mutual support. First off, Jeremy, are you a Wyoming boy?
Yes, I am Wyoming born and raised, and will say all my life.
Casper area?
Casper area.
Oh, very good. Okay. What about your early 20s, even though that was only a couple of years ago? Where were you in your early 20s?
Hey, bless your heart, Colby. And my early 20s was in Casper. And for me personally, that was a very upside down part of my life.
Did you graduate from NC?
I did.
K-Dub, NC. How's Casper changed since you've been here? What's your take on that?
I love how Casper has grown. I really do. I think we've always been just kind of a right-sized city. And so I definitely welcome people coming to Casper. And in Wyoming, you know, we really do rely on population. And so Casper is a good size, and I really enjoy it.
Before you started working at the 1224 Club, did you have any other jobs in Casper?
So a family member, I worked for a family member, and he had a fencing business, and we did that for several years. And before that, just kind of odd jobs.
I'm trying to piece together how you got from point A to point B.
Sure.
So how did you get into the recovery field?
Sure. Recovery is something very near and dear to my personal life. And so how I got into the recovery field was through an organization like the 1224 Club. I got introduced to some services that made a huge impact on my personal life. And so then I returned to college, and I was going to the therapeutic and treatment world. And fast forward a little bit, and I ended up joining the board of directors sometime in there. And then I was asked to start as executive director in 2018.
Before you, was it Dan Cantine?
Dan Cantine, yep.
Okay, so it's been a hub for hope and recovery for 30 years.
Yeah, so the 1224 Club's first location was in Mills, and it opened its doors on January 1st, 1993.
Dan won an award maybe last year, I think it was, for getting that started and the work that he's put in over the years. So I learned a little bit about how, like, his story and journey. That's just amazing, that building. When did the 1224 Club move to Wolcott Street?
The current location we moved into 16 years ago. And like you said, Dan was formative in getting the club started. And a few years ago, last year, he was recognized at the Boys and Girls Club for the Susie and McMurray Tri Award for all of his work that he's done.
I didn't want to misspeak. So yeah, that's crazy, because that breakfast just happened last week. So it was exactly 1 year ago, the Tri Award. Very cool. And it's open 7 days a week, 365 days a year. How is it funded? Where do the dollars come from for all the services that it provides?
That is a phenomenal question. The 1224 Club is funded by a couple different areas. One way is we have a cafe at the 1224 Club where it's a job training program for people impacted by addiction. And so we sell food items in our cafe to people attending meetings. We are the landlord in our building for a couple of agencies on the first floor of our building, so we get some revenue there. We do apply for some grants from foundations around the state of Wyoming. Lots of different foundations support the 1224 Club, and so we do receive some grants. But the big part is patron support is so important for us, is the people who come to the 1224 Club and utilize the free services there, the amenities. Patron support is a key to keeping the 1224 Club doors open.
That's kind of neat. When you think of a program like Alcoholics Anonymous, it's always in like an old church basement. That's not the case in this one. You would hike up the stairs or use the elevator. And then it's upstairs in a bright building, lots of plants, so just a beautiful space to go and use that free resource. I think we should touch on that, the free resources available to people. And it's not just AA, so let's cover the whole spectrum of what the 1224 Club has to offer.
Sure. Another great lead-in. Thank you, Colby. The 1224 Club, in general, we're a nonprofit that serves Casper, Wyoming's recovery community, Central Wyoming's recovery community. And we operate by providing a safe, anonymous space to groups and individuals seeking recovery through mutual support programs. And so a lot of the mutual support programs that meet at the 1224 Club are 12-step-based programs. And those are their own independent programs, like Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Al-Anon for family members. Those are they're their own well-structured, governed, peer-led programs. The 1224 Club just works in partnership with those groups. So we don't have any type of governance or authority on those groups or those programs. We just work in partnership in providing them a space. So like you mentioned, Colby, sometimes in a movie or something, you'll see a 12-step program meeting in a church basement or a gymnasium, and there's a bunch of chairs circled up together, and everybody's, you know, leaning down saying, yeah, brother, and all the stuff. And well, that's what we are. We're just a place that facilitates recovery program meetings of lots of different paths.
How do you create safe spaces so that people feel comfortable doing just that?
Great question. So safe spaces in peer-based recovery programs are created by the members themselves. There is an attitude of tolerance, welcoming, acceptance, and that everyone there is there for the same ailment, a primary purpose, you could say, whether it's alcoholism or drug addiction or maybe a family member who has a substance abuse issue. So just the kindness, the wanting to help somebody else recover, sets a good, gracious environment for people coming in the first place. For staff and leadership at the 1224 Club on keeping that place safe in general, we're very fortunate because downstairs, one of our tenants is Natrona County Drug Court. So typically most days we do have a drug court officer in the parking lot. Upstairs, staff does do a really good job at, you know, making sure everything is safe and friendly for people. I have a standard with myself and staff that if I were a young woman coming to the 1224 Club for the very first time, and I've been through some trauma, I've been through some awful things, and I just don't want to use or drink today. If I came to the 1224 Club, would I feel safe at any given moment in our building? And if the answer is no, then that's something myself and my staff, we have something to correct. I'm proud to say that overall, our building is very safe, very holistic, and very supportive for anybody who comes in. And that's a reflection largely of Casper's recovery community and the people in it.
And the space is really lovely. It's not clinical. It's cozy. How do you foster a really nurturing space that makes people feel welcome?
Yeah. Staff and myself and Central Wyoming's recovery community, I would say, is we really rely on creating a space where everybody feels welcome. You know, recovery programs and even programs based off lived experience, they rely on people being able to freely share their lived experience with the problem, whether they're living in that problem currently or they found a solution to that problem. So whether it's a meeting at the 1224 Club or any of the meeting locations in Casper, although myself, I do not represent any recovery program in general, from firsthand experience, I can say that Casper's recovery community really does a wonderful job at embracing the people who have not recovered yet.
I think two things. I've been in the building multiple times. The one thing I love is the cafe. So that makes it sort of cozy, too, that you can go and get something hot to eat or tea, coffee, whatever, any time of day. There's meetings happening all the time. But even if you want to just go and sit and meet with a friend, it's a great place to just talk. There's comfy couches. We mentioned plants. I think there's a lot of, like, maybe sometimes people feel like they've been stripped of their dignity when it comes to addiction. And I think having that clean space, it's just really meaningful to the people that need it.
Absolutely. So the 1224 Club is operated by our staff in the Fresh Start Cafe. The Fresh Start Cafe is the 1224 Club RAND program. As I mentioned, we don't govern or run any of the mutual support or 12-step-based programs at the club. However, at the 1224 Club, we do have our Fresh Start Cafe, which is a job training program for people impacted by addiction. Some of them are in recovery themselves, in early recovery, and some are just have people with addictions in their lives, and they've been significantly impacted. So we hire people usually around that 30-day early recovery mark, and we teach them some cooking skills, some cashiering skills, some stuff that's all good and fine. You could really learn it anywhere, to tell you the truth, but the real value for someone working in our cafe is it's a safety net program for early recovery, and it's a place where people can just get their bearings again and work in and around the members of Casper's recovery community every single day. So they build those relationships, those connections, and have those conversations that really become transformative parts of early recovery.
I was looking at some numbers on the NIAA. I don't know what that, maybe do you know what that stands for? National Institution of Something, NIAA government website. But I wanted to make sure I had a good source for this. But 1 in 10 people, it claims, have alcohol use disorder, meaning basically almost everyone is affected by alcohol use disorder in one way or another. And that's not even looking at drug abuse and other vices, including shopping, gambling, et cetera.
Sure.
So I think there's probably something for everyone. There's even, did we mention Overeaters Anonymous? Mm-hmm. Is that still happening?
There is. So 1224 Club, today, sometimes it varies by what programs are currently meeting. Today, we have 9 different recovery programs, anything from AA, NA, Al-Anon, Overeaters Anonymous, Eating Disorders Anonymous, Wellbriety, which is a more Native American-based recovery program. 9 different programs, 40 different meetings throughout the week. And so there's, you know, meetings 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, noon, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, just depending on which day. And yeah, so lots of different avenues to find help.
One of the words that you've used a couple of times is community, and that, you know, it's a lot of people coming together and volunteering their time and wanting to be there. Why do you think that's such an important piece of recovery?
Many people, so addiction is a disease of isolation, and really emphasize that you really feel alone, especially when maybe you're in a group where everybody seems to drink normal or even, you know, use drugs casually. But when someone has a substance use disorder, no matter what, they're unable to limit how much they use in a given moment. And if they've stopped for a period, they're unable to stay stopped for a guaranteed amount of time. And so it's a disease of isolation. Recovery is a solution of connection and community. And so that powerlessness a person feels on where they can't just get a rap on something, that's where that mutual support and lived experience comes into play, because 12-step program meetings, mutual support meetings are based off, they're not based off advice or telling another person what to do or anything like that. It's just sharing your own personal experience with a certain component of a recovery program, sharing how that worked for you, how it helped alleviate your addiction, and hopefully inspiring somebody else to try the same. So that's really the magic of peer-led support groups, is that they inspire people on their own just based off people sharing their own experience with that.
In the time that you've been there, what's it like seeing the transformation of people who maybe are broken, beaten down at a low point in their life, to just even those first few months of them feeling happy and free from a physical addiction?
Sure. So I have one of the most fortunate jobs in the state of Wyoming, where I get to watch people completely transform their lives every day. People coming in with not even one glimmer of hope in their life. Everything is just bad. Everything is sour. But they keep coming back. And maybe they heard something in a meeting, got inspired to try a meeting later on that day or the following day, but they just kept coming back. And you watch that take place, and you actually get to watch people in real time recover and make restore the, you know, the lost relationships in their life, become employable again, learn how to open up their mail, and really learn how to become just a functioning member of society again. And that's the thing is, you know, people with addictions, people with substance use disorder, we're not they're not the easiest people to advocate for, right? Because symptoms tend to be very ugly. They tend to hurt people and, you know, tend to be embarrassing and can cause a lot of confusion. And so when we give an opportunity for people with that background to just help one another, amazing things really happen.
I think that kind of touches on a few things, the stigma of an addiction of any kind and the shame and guilt that hold people back from getting help. Do you think that society, I guess, has done enough work when it comes to pointing out that this is an illness?
I think it's more than it ever has. Substance use disorder, addiction absolutely is a disease. It does mess with your dopamine and your ephedrine production in your brain. It just rewires your sense of happiness and your reward system in your brain. And so the recovery for that, for a lot of people, it can be something like spiritual programs, like 12-step programs can be, or there's avenues like cognitive behavioral therapies, or even there's medically assisted treatments, or there's more integrated programs. No matter what the path, whether it's a mutual support based or more clinically assisted path, there are so many options available for recovery in this day and age when, you know, 80 years ago, it was a very, very taboo thing to have an addiction in your life. You could be ostracized. You could lose your job. You could be that person in the community with that reputation, right? 1224 Club today, a lot of work we do is to try to destigmatize that and help people realize that addiction is a very real issue. Substance use disorder is a very real, very common disease, but there is lots of different avenues for help.
I wonder how many people feel like things have to get, you know, so bad before they're willing to go and check out one of the programs or resources there. Do you stumble upon people who just are in maybe a gray area that they're like, well, I still have a job, I still have my family, et cetera? And how do you kind of navigate those conversations if someone's curious, but they're not sure if they're quote unquote bad enough to be there?
Yeah. So most meetings at the 1224 Club, or if you're interested in any type of recovery meeting, a person can either just Google recovery meetings Wyoming or whatever. Most meetings at the 1224 Club are what we call open meetings, and they're for people with an interest in that program. Now, it could be a family member who has a loved one with an addiction and they're just interested on resources available. Or it could be a person in the medical community looking how they can serve their clients better just by being informed. So 95% of the meetings at the 1224 Club are open meetings, meaning anybody can come in, check it out, and if it makes sense to them, if it inspires them, cool, stick around. See if you want to come to another one. And if not, it was a resource to try.
Why do you think the 1224 Club has been able to help so many people?
Why I feel the 1224 Club has helped so many people in its 32 years is that we're a very unique organization. It's rare to find the extent of programs meeting at the same time in the same space. And so we have a lot of that. We have 9 different programs meeting currently in our building. We are a free resource. We don't take personal information. We don't take names. There's no insurance involved, no type of copay. You simply show up, attend a meeting, see if it resonated with you, and if it did, try it again the next day, and then make those connections that way. We are open 13 hours a day. We're a free resource for, you know, in 12-step programs, it's called sponsorship, where a person just works hand in hand on helping somebody else learn about whatever the recovery program they're in is. So we provide meeting rooms for that, where people can meet one-on-one. We're open all throughout the day for people in recovery to come get a meal or just fellowship. we're really just a place where if you're in recovery or if you're interested in recovering from addiction, you're looking for that place, that fellowship, that connection, the 1224 Club is that spot where you can find like-minded people, and which will help you branch out to find other places in town with the same like-minded people.
Another thing I noticed on the website was there are resources for suicide prevention. Obviously, the Cowboy State has a reputation for having a high suicide rate. In what ways does the 1224 Club facilitate suicide prevention?
So currently, we don't. We did have some groups that were meeting there. JR's Hunt for Life is a wonderful group for grief and loss support. Occasionally, we do have grief and loss supports groups that meet at the 1224 Club. Grief and loss is a whole nother juggernaut. There's no 12-step or recovery program for grief, because for people who experience significant grief and loss, it's more a matter of how you're navigating that grief that day. And I'm not an expert in this field at all, but the support system is just as important. And there's lots of grief and loss support avenues in Casper right now.
One of my favorites is the Death Cafe. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, this was spearheaded by the lovely Mrs. Susan Burke. So you know who she is. She worked at the local hospice place, but she'd put together these little like coffee meetups, and they'd be called Death Cafes. I love that she's making a hard topic a little bit more approachable for people to be able to open up. But I think that's, in a nutshell, what the 1224 Club is all about. It's like a lot of people keep secrets about what's happening because they're the shame that we talked about. And just being able to have conversations that are hard and not, you know, things that people just don't always feel comfortable sharing with other people, including grief, because it's so vulnerable and don't want to be a downer, and and making it more acceptable for people to be able to do that everywhere, I think is really important.
Yeah, whether grief, addiction, anything that just makes us feel alone and that we're the only one going through that, getting over that hurdle is so impossible sometimes. And bottoming out on that emotion, man, I wish I had the recipe to help someone realize when they're at a bottom, but that's just something that we just have to watch somebody experience themselves. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
I did want to say, though, in terms of suicide prevention, I'm sure that we can see a correlation between drug abuse, alcohol abuse, any kind of substance abuse, and suicide. And so in a way, I mean, just providing hope and helping people to recover from addiction is a small piece of suicide prevention. And when we look at those numbers, we get them every year from like the Wyoming CDC. They can't always distinguish between an overdose and suicide. And so I wonder how that affects our numbers and how many of our reported suicides might be overdoses.
Yeah, that's a neat question. Who knows? When a person dies of, you know, there's a lot of side effects associated with alcoholism or significant drug use. And so a heart failure may be a cause of death, but years of alcoholism may have had a role to play in that. And so typically substance use disorder does not end up on a death certificate. However, a lot of the other side effects of addiction are. So yeah, who knows the real numbers on how many lives substance use disorder takes because it categorized as something else. But yes, a very real problem, very real.
Another thing I wanted to touch on, if you're okay with it, is how working in a recovery space every day has impacted your personal life. And if there's things that you do every day for your own health and wellness, because you know how important it is and you have maybe a unique outlook on life.
You know, gosh, I don't know if I have a unique outlook. I know I'm very fortunate, and I do get to see firsthand the power of altruism and, you know, putting somebody else in your thoughts every day. So the big magic of recovery programs or working at the 1224 Club and getting to see recovery groups work is that, you know, a big heft of any recovery program is the personal work. But just as equally impactful and gratifying is to help somebody else. Is that ability to help somebody else walk through the same path and recover themselves. And so I get to watch people do that every single day. I get to be a fly on the wall for some very deep, very life-changing moments that you just don't get in your typical workplace. And so every day I get to be filled with a lot of gratitude for the people that I get to work with, just the community that I get to see, get to support each other, love each other, and help each other through a life-threatening disease.
I hope I don't embarrass you, but can I ask about ice baths?
Oh, gosh.
I was reserved. I almost choked on my coffee, folks.
Yeah.
So Jeremy, for a while there, was every single day jumping in an ice bath. Are we still doing that?
Yeah, we're still doing that. And I will talk anyone's ear off about ice baths. And so, yeah, I have some early arthritis. I do some things. I really got into swimming a few years ago. I love lap swimming for preventative health care and for some things I have going on in my body. I'm a moron when it comes to stretching, and so I ended up with a lot of cramps and stuff, and ice baths. I got into them this last winter, and I'll tell you what, they are legit. So try one out.
And with our last little bit of time, do you want to touch on some of the things that you have coming up at the 1224 Club?
I do. Thank you, Colby. So the big event we have coming up on October 3rd is the 1224 Club's 20th Annual Recovery Rally. And at that, we're going to be honoring Officer Terry Jackson with Natrona County Drug Court. He is the 1224 Club's recipient of our Beacon of Hope recognition. And it's a recognition we give to a person who's made a huge impact on Casper's recovery community, and Officer Terry Jackson has done just that throughout the years. Recovery Rally is going to have entertainment by Second Chance Comedy from Colorado, and they're a comedy team that does a comedy show about addiction. And we're going to have our recovery raffle, and it's a chance to win up to $5,000 in cash. We have 12 different big cash prizes going on. On September 27th, we have a recovery walk from the 1224 Club to Wyoming Recovery, and it's a good way to support people in recovery, and there'll be some speakers and a barbecue at Wyoming Recovery that day on September 27th, starting at 10:30 at the 1224 Club. And then the big thing, we have our Casper College Scholarship opening up. A few years ago, with revenue from the Fresh Start Cafe, we created an endowment scholarship at Casper College for students impacted by addiction. So every semester, we award two $500 scholarships to a couple of students who are either indirectly or directly impacted by substance use disorder in their life. And that scholarship portal opens up on October 1st at Casper College Scholarships Portal.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.